Ticonderoga, Lexington, and Concord, Fort McHenry, Gettysburg, San Juan Hill, Belleau Wood, Iwo Jima, X-Ray, Nidring Valley, among countless others. What do all these names have in common? They're all battles and wars throughout our nation's history. This Memorial Day, we do indeed salute those brave and courageous souls who have fought for freedom in our nation's armed forces. And as the late President Ronald Reagan said many years before he was ever in the Oval Office, as some of you avid students of history very well know, that Mr. Reagan was a faithful defender of freedom against the tyranny of communism, even way back when he was in Hollywood as a famous actor. He said that freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. He said we didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, if we protect it, if we defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-fought lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, he said, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free. He said that in 1961. Every believer in Christ, dear ones, is an ambassador for the Savior, a spirit warrior. And we are engaged in the cosmic battlefield and the war for the hearts and minds and souls of men, women, boys, and girls among all nations worldwide. And yes, right here in our community as well, lest we be deceived. It was a Vietnam Special Forces Army vet once told me as a much younger pastor that this spiritual war detailed in this text of said that it is far more real than anything he ever encountered in Southeast Asia. We must not only be aware, but also prepared for this insidious of the empire of evil as spiritual warriors. Look in chapter 10. Verse 10, we saw that the spirit warriors energy source is the power of Almighty God, coursing through the channels of our hearts and our souls by the presence of God's Spirit, we saw in chapter 1, and the indwelling life of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil. The spirit warrior's equipment supply is the spiritual armor of Almighty God through the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, in the indwelling life of Christ. And the spirit warrior's enemy strategy here, look at the end of verse 11, the wiles of the devil. The spirit warrior's enemy strategy are the deceptive wiles of methods of false doctrine, ideologies devoid of Christ, and the poison of discouragement that drains vitality from the heart and soul. This is real stuff. And look at verse 12 for this morning. This is the spirit warrior's enemy stronghold. It is an empire of evil where the hordes of hell are systematically organized into a diabolically insidious power structure designed to destroy the purposes of God. And the purposes of God, may we never forget, they're centered in the person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. It is incumbent upon us as spirit warriors to always keep the cross of Christ within arm's reach and never allow it to fall to the periphery. It is central in this cosmic battlefield in the war for souls. And the enemies of our soul, they endeavor to destroy God's purposes centered in the person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And practically, the bullseye is on us, our lives, our families, and yes, our church. And anytime you and I are taking seriously the Word of God and living on mission for Jesus Christ and practically engaged in people's lives, in our church, in our community, in our culture, we must never be surprised when the enemy says, attack! And when the satanic slush of the waves of deception and discouragement come coursing through like breakers on a seashore. If you ever wonder what in the world is going on, it may very well be this right here. Check this out. It says in verse 12, "For we do not wrestle our battle. We do not fight against flesh and blood." Whether it's school shootings or political tyranny or missionaries in the hands of communist regimes or whatever it is, or sometimes even just the discouragement unwittingly served up by other members of the body of Christ, that we can actually be, unbeknownst to us, be pawns of the enemy. Particularly if we're not keeping in step with the Spirit of God and walking by faith in the Lord and endeavoring to be a blessing and encouragement to honor the Lord through our actions and our attitudes. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." People are not the enemy. It is the ungodly ideas and philosophies and these rooted in falsehood. Really, the national religion of hell is really falsehood. Deception. And you better believe that it sounds real good. But it's tainted. It's twisted. It's perverted. Stu Weber, in his book Spirit Warriors, he says that we ought to avoid the extremes. People in our day, he says, either tend to ignore the devil or to be infatuated with him. Neither is any good. He says, Lewis said best, as usual. Dr. Lewis, he said, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race, mankind, can fall about the devils or demons. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors. And they can be a materialist, basically that naysayer, or a magician, basically an enthusiast. Same client. And Weber, he says, whether you deny his existence or obsess over his existence, the devil, Satan, adversary, the enemy of our soul, says you're right where he wants you. You're either ignorant and therefore in danger of ambush or preoccupied and therefore neutral. Some Christians, particularly in the Western world, have ever been on a mission to understand this. In the Western world, they poo-poo on the spirit realm. Other Christians take the opposite approach, develop a curious fascination. Neither is healthy. So first of all, it's important for us to take a look at verse 12 here. Understand what spiritual warfare is and what is not. It's like first fact of fantasy. One of the most poignant examples from pop culture, which in many respects paralyzes the spiritual reality of this kind of battle, wrote about in his epic fantasy novel called The Hobbit. At the end of the book, the conclusion was a battle called the Battle of Five Armies. It was where all these various armies that they converged in the Battle of Ragnarok, the war's ancient political. There was good guys who weren't on the same team initially until they realized that the bad guys, the really bad guys, the orcs and all these craziness, basically demonic forces, if you'll think. The good guys, hey, we don't band together. not we get the gold, it's not going to amount to anything whatsoever. Because these bad guys over here, these goblins, as one of the dwarfs said, the whores upon you. And if we don't get together and understand who the real enemies are, the civilization is going to be an issue. That's what they are. Havoc and destruction. In the parallel to our lives, gold. Because in a similar fashion, look at this diabolical hierarchy, this power structure laid out here. And it's important for us to understand that our warfare is more closely parallels it was just described. One of the things, especially as far as customer space, was released, right? Where Han Solo came from. It's important for us to understand as we endeavor to take every thought captive to the things of Jesus Christ, the biblical worldview, that spiritual warfare that we're in is not Star Wars. You understand that? Basically, Star Wars is more of like a and yang Eastern mysticism, like two equal and opposing forces, the dark side and the good side of the force. That's not what the Word of God teaches. It's a good story. We're on the winning team. Blood, but against principalities, against against the rulers of the darkness of the sea, against spiritual rulers of wickedness in the heavenly places. First of all, as Dr. Weber says, we ought to not war with them. And demons are not natural religion itself is rooted in falsehood and independence and rebellion, and therefore is emptiness. And so the enemy endeavors to our lives. Look over to Colossians chapter 2. Just over to the right. Chapter 2. The book of Colossians forms a trilogy. Trilogy of truth. Here in the prison epistles, the book of Colossians, the book of Colossians, no, the blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven the sufficient redemption power to forgive all of our sin, the total forgiveness. And therefore, what that means is that we need to ask for more forgiveness. So what do you do when you mess up? That there is indeed repentance and hey, you agree with God, confess, hey, that's God, I did mess up. So do you ask for more forgiveness? When you already ask for forgiveness, no. For the total forgiveness we already have in the blood of Jesus Christ. Certainly is not a license to sin. It's an empowerment of godliness and live for Christ and out of gratitude and humility, walking in the power of His Spirit. Look at the next verse. Wiped out. Love that. Wiped it out. Decimated. Handwriting of required souls against us. Contrary to us, and he's taking it out of the way. What did he do? The Mosaic Law. To the cross. And look what he did in verse 15. The spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. He purchased the victory. He says, I've been disarmed. He stripped the principalities and powers. That's good. That's glory. He's alive. Won the victory. So the demonic forces of evil need not sweat your weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The national religion of hell. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The national religion of hell is indeed falsehood. And the devil delights in using deceptive false doctrine and ideologies. And death and darkness. And the light and using these things to keep the people of God, the church, bound in sin and death and darkness. Are we any different from the cause of Christ? Whether it's discouragement we're receiving from without in the world or from within. Because unfortunately, one of the things that the church is notorious for is and that is heinous in the battlefield, in the theater of war. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are lost, those who are perishing. The Bible teaches that sinners are spiritually dead. And there is nothing in and of themselves whatsoever whereby they can merit and save the love and grace of God. It's not till the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word of God, that light shines into the darkness. Check this out. Look at verse 4. It says, whose minds the God of this age, the God of this world, he's referring to the devil, has blinded, who did not believe. The devil delights in blinding people. And that is why the devil's modus operandi, his method, rooted in false doctrine, ideologies that are devoid of Christ. And then it says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. He's blinded people. And they do not believe. And why does he do this? Look, it says, he says, bless the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And so, with the love and light, the life of God in Jesus Christ, wielding the sword, this is great. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So when we come as ambassadors of the King of Kings, and we're combating the false ideas and ideologies and the false doctrine, and the discouragement of the enemy, and the truth. So it is like, in many respects, we can think of the Word of God as a pry bar. God does when there's false doctrine and ideas, that's not right because of this. What we're doing is we're cracking like these layers and filth and darkness of people's hearts. Look at the verse, end of verse 4. So that the light of the gospel of the glory should shine on them. And what happens just as we sing in Charles Wesley's song, and can it be that I should gain? Verse 3, that song says, long my spirit has bound in sin and nature's night. I was the quickening ray. I awoke with flame of light. My chain fell off. I rose with the surgery. And look at the verse that says, we cannot reach ourselves. It's not about us. The difference that Jesus Christ made in our lives. And by way of testimony and exhorting somebody that, hey, listen, I've been there. And this is what Christ has meant and done for me. And he can transform your life as well. says, we preach in verse 5, Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And look at verse 6, it says, it is God who commanded light, darkness, who shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Jesus Christ, the cross of our Savior, is the blazing center of the glory of God. Because of who He is. Why Jesus' name is awesome. Every tongue will not blaspheme the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen? That's great. So, in Ephesians, it lays out this high structure of the demonic forces of evil. By the grace of Jesus Christ. So Daniel, praying in chapter 12. And then from the throne, you know what he says? Seen spirit world. Iran. I'd make quick work with him, basically. And he says, hey, the Prince of Greece, he's in the we do not totally understand that are transpiring in the unseen world. In his book, one good way, what those novels did lay out is the consciousness of the church, spiritual warfare, dear ones. And listen, many of you satanic spiritual oppression and fear. I'm reminded of the commanding officer of the Army's Delta Force. You ever and they clip it. He said that's what we did. Oh, down as the commanding officer. He's a Christ, an ordained minister of the gospel. He said, down. He said, all armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil and have been God is called to take a stand for righteousness, to take a stand for God, to take a stand for His glory. It's not our power, it's His armor, which is supplied by His Spirit and the indwelling life of the Lord Jesus. Lives. That is despicable, and it is preposterous and pure. Look at verse 6. In other words, invest your time, your treasure, your talent, your treasure of the King of Kings, who loved us. Hand of God. To and through the Apostle Paul. And understand what he is doing today with the Lord is. God is our pathway of our lives. It's the closed doors of men. In this veterans this Memorial Day, but also be grateful for our Lord and Savior who's conquered sin and death and darkness forever. He's alive. Father, we thank you that you are indeed worthy of praise. And Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Amen.